Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we enlighten the world around us and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Nightlight. A reminder that you are never alone. And now your host, internationally renowned spiritual intuit, medium, channel, author, artist, lecturer, ordained minister, and good all-around girl, Ms. Barbara DeLong.
Good all-round girl gets me every time. Hi there, everybody, and welcome to Nightlight. That was the magical voice of Ken Quiet Hawk, inviting you to come in out of the mainstream and join with us for a time to be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change, that which we laughingly call creation. Come and join in with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and, with a little bit of luck, some wisdom. These are times of change, times that call to the seekers, and you answer that call from all walks of life, from countless aspects of the spiritual realms. This is a time of awakening, of sharing and evolving, of spreading your wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. We all come from different backgrounds and modalities from all walks of life, and yet there is a synchronicity, a commonality that draws and blends us together, weaving us once more into a collective purpose, a common direction, and a united family once again. We all go by different titles, labels, names, if you will. We call ourselves watchers, wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, questers, querents, psychics, channelers, mediums, journeyers, light workers, light bearers, spiritual empaths, shamans. And the list, my God, it goes on and on, and it's as unique and eclectic as are we. Yet we all have the same spiritual calling, and we all, in our own very individual ways, bring light into this reality to facilitate the awakening and shifting of the consciousness for all of mankind. This is my own very private oasis in the turmoil we call evolution. So sit back, take a break. Kick your shoes off, share your lights with us, and join in the love, the light, and the laughter that spiritual energy always generates when lights are blended and spirits lifted. I'm Barb DeLong, your host, and along with whoever is going to help me do the screening tonight, and Anne Rose, if they ever turn up, we all welcome you in and hope you'll add your lights to ours to increase the energy and brighten all of our own personal lights. We'll be doing readings shortly, so if you'd like to call in for one, the number is 347-857-2139. Don't wait too long. It does fill up fast. I'm hopeful that Deb is going to show up, and when she does, she'll be the co-host, and she'll be able to answer any questions that you have. You IM her. I don't watch the chat room that closely, so if you IM me, then you're going to find that most probably I'm not going to I'm not going to answer you because I'm not paying really attention to the chat room. That's what Deb and Jeannie are for, and anybody else that can help me out whenever I am in need of that extra pair of hands, pair of eyes, and sometimes voice. Ken Quiethawk can be found at nativestorytellers.com if you want to learn more about that amazing voice. And I do encourage you to do that. He is an amazingly phenomenal, talented, and gifted native storyteller, and that is an art that is slowly fading from the memory of all of us and from society as well. And I really do urge you to go in and check out his show. His show is Hawk's Nest, and he and Deborah, his wife, together are an amazing couple, and they share a dedication and a quality of maintaining and remembering an ancient skill and talent, which is, of course, telling the stories of the natives, and those stories are more parables than anything else. They lead us into spiritual messages and understandings that teach us our pathway, and they teach us an understanding of our spiritual background and creation. And if you look into all forms of traditional creation stories, you'll find that they all have great similarities. But the native storytelling, which goes back, of course, to not only an understanding of the creation of the planet and all of us, but an understanding and a love and a communication with nature that is profound. It's also they teach beautifully and simply and profoundly. And I would encourage you tremendously to listen to some of their shows, because they give you a better understanding of a time that was more peaceful and certainly more in sync with nature. And it's magical. They preserve a form of magic that is most profound. So do check out their shows. I'm at barbaradelong.com. My website is a teaching site, so it has a tremendous amount of material on it, in it, and around it, that sort of go into the different things that I'm fascinated with. And it's endless. I keep being reminded of things that fascinated me in the past, and I come I decide to do the investigation and read up on it, and it's really phenomenal. Chris, I see you're in the chat room, and neither Deb nor Jeannie has showed up. If you could do some screening for me for the first hour, that would be greatly appreciated. And hopefully you're not tutorialing somebody and you can possibly get in and do the screening. The codes are the same as they've always been. So that would help me greatly. I have screened a couple, but there's a whole list of people here and I don't have screening on any of them. So that said, Anne Rose is supposed to show up. I don't know if she's here or not. I can't remember what her number is. So if Chris can scoot in and do some screening for me, that would help me greatly, and then I'd know who was who and where they were. The show has gone through a lot of different it has evolved with different formats and things like that. Thank you, Chris. I greatly appreciate that. When I started out the show a gazillion years ago, I think it was in 2007, seven or nine, I can't remember which, and I'm not about to go back and look. But anyhow, when I started out the show, I actually had it scripted for the first, for all 2 hours, because I wasn't sure that anybody was actually going to be listening or tuning into the show. And so I wanted to make sure that I had material, so I didn't have that dreaded dead air time. And happily there were people there, and so, you know, the show evolved so that, you know, there are people that call in and ask for readings, and it's such a thrill to be able to touch people on all of the different levels and in all the different places that they're at and in, and stuff like that. Anyhow, the format of the show at that time was I spoke for 2 hours. And there were many times that I didn't get to talk about what I had scripted because actually people did call in. And for those of you that are in the queue, if you want to get a reading, if you want a reading, you have to press the number 1 so that we know to call on you. If you're just sitting there, listening, that's fine and wonderful. Don't press number 1. But if you want a reading, please press the number 1 so we know that you are in line to be read, to be to have your energy dealt into. So at first when I started doing the readings, I would let people ask questions and I would try to sort of delve into their energy and give them the most spiritual answer I could to their questions. And after many, many years of doing it that way, it occurred to me that perhaps there was a better way to serve those people that called in for readings. So then I started playing around with different modalities, different ways of stretching into and getting the information for people. And I played for a great deal of time with James Luce with doing and Mary Peeler with doing just shows that were past lives, and that was a lot of fun. And then I had Cindy Jordan on for a number of times, and we did the music of their spirits, which was a phenomenal experience for anyone who has had the privilege of having Cindy tune into your energy and actually compose music for your soul. It's a phenomenal experience. And I found that every time I switched formats, I became better. I became more tuned in. I found that I was able to sort of hit other aspects of my own consciousness. And that's the whole point of sharing and doing these readings this way, these shows are meant for readers to hone their skills, to polish their talents and their skills and their ability, and to stretch themselves. And I found that when I continue to do the same thing show after show after show after show, I wasn't really stretching myself. I wasn't really growing. I wasn't actually giving you guys the best that I had to give. So I have been, shifting it around, and I've been juggling it around. And so I think tonight what we're going to do is I'm going to do the letter rip readings. And unless you have if you do have a specific question, I happily will answer one question. Just don't try to stretch it into 3 to 5 to 10 or anything like that. It's one question, and I'll do my best to give you exactly what it is I get. It's really interesting. Before the show, I was talking to Jeannie, and she was mentioning the energy and how things are shifting around. And most of us in the field have been talking about the energy for quite a long time. And there does seem to be some unusual energy out there. And what I have found fascinating is for the last several... So I have barometers in my house. I love barometers. They do measure pressure, and they do measure a whole bunch of stuff, and they're very accurate. They're pretty, and I love them. But what I have found is that they are very, very accurate to give me an indication of what the pressure is outside, and how things are shifting around, and how things are. If there's a storm coming, it does give me not as much notice as I would like, but it does give me notice as to what the weather is going to do. And for the last, I would say, 3 or 4 storms that have hit over just this month, actually, when we're expecting these major blizzards and storms and stuff like that, where the pressure has to be taking, amazing dips or rises. I'm not sure what it does, to tell you the truth. But the barometers haven't in any way, shape, or form, they haven't been moving. They aren't shifting around, and it's amazing. Oh, Anne just let me know she's coming. That's cool. So anyhow, I'm really very curious because these barometers have worked beautifully for years and years and years, and suddenly they aren't measuring the barometric pressure of what's going on outside. And trust me, I'm in Connecticut, for those of you who don't know, and I have feet of snow all around me. We've had what they called a blizzard, and then another storm, and there's another one coming towards the end of the week. And so I think Boston is now this, the last storm that we just had has put it over the top for the eighth snowiest storm in the since they began keeping track of storms and stuff, and they go back to the 1800s, so that's like 120, 130 years, maybe more. So it's fascinating, and I'm really kind of trying to figure out just what is going on, because there is definitely a change and a shift in the energy, the barometric energy. Forget spiritual energy, but just the energy of the weather systems and such that are going on around us. So I'm kind of curious. Anne said she was coming. She's hit the chat room. So Anne, if you want to private me with your area code so I can pick you out of the queue, I will pull you on and see if I can get your opinion on this stuff, because it really it fascinates me. There's definitely something going on, and I can't quite figure out what it is. I'm going to pull a Chris, and I'm going to talk while I type, because I can't think. And, oh, you could just put it in the chat room. That would be easy. Chris, thank you very much. Yeah, I have to thank Chris, because not only does she faithfully hit as many of my shows as she can, but she stands in emergencies, and not that this is a severe emergency, but it felt like one, because there are a whole bunch of people sitting in the queue. And, again, for those of you in the queue, there are a lot of you there, but none of you would have hit the number one. So I have to assume that you're just listening and you're not here for a reading. But it's an inordinate number of people that are sitting there. So
Two have actually hit one.
Two have.
You know, when you say nobody has, then the two that did, they'll be like pushing their one button and coming out of queue thinking like, oh, it didn't whistle anyway. Okay. Don't worry, Barbara. It's all under control. I'll let you know an answer.
Yeah, well, I do appreciate you showing up, because I had an emergency this week, and I was I managed to poison myself with food. So,
Were you cooking?
No, I wasn't. No, but I was eating. And sometimes
that's what you get for eating, Barbara.
Oh, God. Well, you know how sometimes you do something that is just so not you? I mean, I never order fish in a restaurant. Never. And I ordered scallops on Friday. Yeah, I know. I was told you should never order a fish out of season or whatever it is. And let me tell you, I thought labor pains were bad, but I still feel like a truck has run over me. And so I'm glad Anne is almost here. She's not there yet.
Well, the thing is, it took me forever. No, it took me a long time to get my Skype to work, and then it took a long time for the page to load. So I think BTR is a little sluggish here right now, and so I'm keeping my eye out, and the moment that she lands, I will usher her onto the red carpet and up to the stage. And
yeah, you know, this is one of those nights where I could use your little your thing of claps. Yay, she's arrived. She's arrived. No, it was like, you know, okay, so I've got, you know, because Deb was going to be here and she hasn't shown up, and this isn't a genie night, so I'm glad you did pop in for a while.
I PM'd, like I Skyped Anne, and then I Facebooked her, and then I tried calling her, and that wouldn't work either, calling her on Skype. And so there could be a problem with Skype, really, you know what I mean? And so... So anyways, here. Yeah, no, I don't like to miss your show if I don't have to. And so I, you know, I guess I'd love to say, oh, my spidey senses must have been tingling and telling me that no, but I almost hear every time I can be anyway. So glad
it's greatly appreciated.
You know, and did she PM you or something when she landed, or what did she do?
No, she Skyped me and said she was coming, and I did see her in the queue, and has somebody else popped in? Yeah, somebody else has popped in.
My guess is that's her right there. That's Anne. Hey, Anne.
Hello.
Yay!
It's been one of those weeks.
Okay. Yay!
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you, Chris. No, I was just... This was, you know, the only reason I didn't cancel the show was that I had a guest, and I figured, you know, I'd have help with the screening. I food poisoned myself this week. Well, not this week. Friday. And you know something? That's really painful.
Yes, it is.
I absolutely I've never had food poisoning, but I actually even... picked up the phone and called Deb and said, look, do I go to the emergency room? This is what I'm experiencing, and this is really horrible. And, you know, she said, no, it doesn't sound like it's that bad yet. You know, if you start throwing up blood, maybe you should go. And it was like, start throwing up blood? Are you serious? And apparently she was. But I never did. So I
was going to make a funny and say it's gut-wrenching, but it really is gut-wrenching.
It is. I thought labor when I had a baby was bad, but this was, I think, the last time I had anything quite like this was when I came down with ulcerative colitis, and that was horrific. I am coming back from it all. I definitely am feeling much better, but I feel like you know, somebody just let all the air out and stuff like that. And it's like, oh, you've got to be kidding. I have to take a nap now, but I just had breakfast, you know.
Yeah, it's really, really horrible.
I was talking about the fact that, I want to ask you, a number of people have said to me that there is really weird energy out there. And you know, yeah, there is, but there always is. And yet I have found that with these last storms that we've had this month especially, my barometers have not registered any of them. And, you know, I'm talking major snowfall of feet and stuff like that. I'm talking, well, they called it a blizzard, but it was a bad snowstorm. And I'm just, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, looking at them saying, are you crazy? You know, and I've checked them to see that they had enough water and everything. They never registered a major storm. And we've had three in the last, 2 weeks? Are you feeling anything strange at all?
Well, funny you should say that. I have these old school stuff, and I know you would know about this, not because you're an older person, but you're old school, so you do things like I do things. Do you remember the little man and the little woman, the German people that kind of go in and out when they're like on the wall? They kind of tell the temperature. I have those, and I've always gone by that. And no matter what, they've always been on target. And they're moving unlike any other time that they've ever moved.
Strange. It's just, it's so weird. I just, you know, I'm sitting here in the middle of you know, I put some pictures on Facebook. I mean, I have feet of snow that has fallen here in the last couple of days. Major storm, you know, highway shut down, town shut down. I mean, big storms. And these things are sitting there kind of like, da 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 da. Isn't it nice out? And it is. You know, I'm looking at them saying if they weren't such delicate glass, I'd smack them around. I mean, it just it's not giving me any indication that there's any sort of and I've had thunderstorms where the water has risen and just overflowed it. So, you know, how could a could it be that there was no barometric change?
Something is
weird.
There's like two things going on at one time. I'm hearing two different shows at one time.
Huh. Well, stay here because you're booked for this one.
Do you hear that too?
No, all I hear is water dripping.
Ann?
Yeah?
I had to close the chat room because there was no way to mute the chat room. Suddenly, when you call Skype in, you can't mute the chat. So you might have to like close the chat and try to go back in, but that's your problem, I'm guessing.
No, my chat room is like...
Even when I click on the button to mute it and it says it's X'd out, I'm still hearing it from. So I would leave the chat room and see if that solves it or not.
Yeah.
So did that? Yeah.
Yep, I closed it out.
Okay.
What the heck?
Is it still happening?
Nope.
Okay, there you go. I'm going to go away again.
You know, I listened to her show the other night, and she had she had the Amish comedian on, and I don't know, Debbie, somebody who had a nickname, and she kept, you know, she had Amish interviewing this other psychic, and you know, she said, I'm stepping away, and you can just go ahead and interview her. And then every now and then, Chris would step back in with a comment or so, and she'd, now I'm going away again. And she came in and out over and over again. It was hysterical.
What's going on with BTR? Is it the browsers?
Are you back having trouble again?
I don't understand why it was like a double thing when everything was crossed out. I mean, my browsers have been doing fine. And then all of a sudden when I come on to BTR, my browsers are having
just BTR. So all systems
just
normal. BTR is messed up.
Oh,
you
wow.
Know?
Did you know that BTR was set up to be a tax loss? No, seriously, it was.
Well, it was. I shouldn't say the real story. The public story is that the guy set it up because his father was disabled and home lonely, and he wanted to give his dad a way. What's that guy's name again? That started out BTR. Anyway, oh my God, you just totally. You helped me. No, John Sweet. For the record, John Sweet did not create and start BTR.
Oh, okay.
And barely even knows how it works, in my opinion. But anyway, the man that, I can't remember his name, he still has a show on BTR every now and then. Who started BTR? We'll consult with the Ascended Master Google.
Okay. Ascended Master Google, actually.
But the story goes that the guy's father was homesick and blah, 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 and so he put together the...
Well, my ascended master that I consult is Master Charge.
Okay, I'm going to go away now.
I thought that was the guy that put together Skype. That was the guy that put together Law Talk. I thought that was the guy that put together Skype.
Oh.
Who knows? I don't. So what we're going to do is... I guess we're going to let people ask questions tonight just for the hell of it. Because
we can.
Because I can do that. You know something? It's my show. I can do anything I want with it. You know, of course, it doesn't mean that anybody's going to listen, but, you know, I just,
well.
And, well, you know, something, it's funny because they mess up their numbers to the point that I don't even go and look at the numbers anymore. But I did want to mention one more thing before we do start reading. Anne and I are going to be doing a show on her network, Heavenly Whispers, on the 26th of February from 8 to 10. And we decided to do a Book of the Month Club. You don't have to buy a book, but it would help if you read the book we're going to talk about. But we decided that we would pick on books and or movies and you know, critique them and let people know ahead of time what we were going to talk about, so that if they wanted to get the book and read it too, they'd be able to chat in the chat room about it or call in and chat with us about it. And the first book we're going to be doing is Many Lives, Many Masters, and I'm looking forward. I've read it once. I think I've read it more than once, but I'm looking forward to reading it again because, you know, there are classics in every field, and that's one of the classics for this field. And the other one we talked about doing, too, was Holy Blood, Holy Grail, yet again, another classic. So, and I'm encouraging everybody to watch Lucy, the movie, because it's current, and I think you can get it on demand on most of the TV carriers at this point in time. And that deals with a woman who actually gains 100% of her ability to utilize 100% of her brain and what happens. And it was fascinating. So anyhow, Anne,
what we'd like to do is get like a list together and maybe, you know, have people kind of add to that list and, you know, kind of.
That's it. Yeah,
you know,
a
get
idea.
A list together, you know, and have people kind of maybe a week ahead or maybe a month even ahead decide and then give people the heads up on what we're going to do. It's right. It gives people some time to get together and say, hey, let's start reading this or watching this.
Uh-huh.
And then it'll give people stuff to talk about ahead of time. So it'll be fun.
That's a great idea. I really, I'm just hopeful that nobody picks up on the Euranthea book because I got lost in the introduction to that book. So, it got so confusing. And it's the Euranthea book is a wonderful example of true channeling, and it's beautifully written. It's just so detailed and complex that I got lost in it. And, you know, I'm kind of thinking that maybe if I skipped over the introduction, I might be able to get into the meat of the book and maybe actually read some of it. I have it. I just haven't been able to get into it. You know how sometimes the book grabs you and you can't put it down?
Mm-hmm.
I've been playing tag with that book for a long time. I mean,
or you get those books that, you know, you buy and they sit on the shelf and then few years down the road, you finally pick it up and read it.
Mm-hmm. Are you like I am? If a book is a part of a series, I have to have the entire series before I start reading it.
Yeah.
I've done that with a number of really thick books because I like thick books because I read fast. Okay, we've got somebody here who has been patiently waiting for almost an hour.
Ooh.
It's Lucy. Hi, Lucy. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, how are you? Good things.
Doing well.
Yeah.
So if you have a question, ask away, because we'll be happy when we delve into your energy field and give you what we get.
I could like the reading when you go into the general to the field and then you tell people what you see.
A general reading.
Yes, the one that you just tell them, okay, I see this, I see that.
Okay.
Because now I'm trying to change everything around and to see where I'm going.
Okay. I would say that, you know, what I'm getting here is that I see I see a doorway opening, and that's significant of crossing a threshold into new areas of life and new. I hear drama. I hear there's a lot of. I see a lot of drama here, and I do feel that you are making major shifts and changes here. It feels almost as though you're thinking of moving to a great degree. And don't say anything till Annie has had a chance to say something too. So you kind of let us both give you what we get first. I'm feeling that there are major shifts in your life, and that it feels like you're kind of rolling your sleeves up to get to work, to clearing up a lot of clutter. I see a lot of papers that you have to go through. There's lots and lots of paperwork here, and it does feel as though you're moving in new directions. The work, it feels almost in every area of your life you are working on making changes so that you know, this seems to be a time where you're really at a crossroads of sorts and you're moving into another, I don't want to say dimension, but it feels like you're moving into another area of psychic development or evolution, and you're putting, oh, this is cool, you're putting away childish things. You're getting into more evolved, more intricate, more in-depth philosophies and directions, and you're opening yourself up to some very, very new aspects of life here that are really quite profound. I'd say that communicating that with yourself is something that really is important, talking to yourself and listening to yourself. You tend to seek outside advice when the inside advice is much better for you, and you sort of are trying to you're trying to get confirmation about what you feel and believe, and sometimes the advice other people give you it confuses you. So basically, I'm getting the feeling here that you should listen to your own counsel, because you certainly have an amazingly, wonderfully evolved spirit inside of you that has greater insight than any of us looking into you could possibly delve into. Power change, energy change coming up this year, and it feels as though the spotlight is on you, so that this is a time where a lot of what you do gets the attention of other people, and that opens you up to new networking experiences and making connections that are going to be very important to you, not necessarily this year, but in the years yet to come. Anne, what are you getting?
I'm hearing a woman going, cut the bull crap, and she's actually showing me a knife. I'm hearing a woman. I don't know why it's doing it again. I don't know why it's doing that again. I'm getting a woman here, and she's standing here, and she has a knife, and she's saying, cut through the bull crap. And she's also saying, you know, you've gone through this before. You can do this again. You need to stand up for yourself. You need to speak your truth. You have all of us behind you. You can do this. Believe in yourself. This is time to start over. You're not too old. And she's showing me an hourglass. And she's saying that the time is now. She's also saying something about legal stuff. I don't know if it's legal papers or documentation or I don't know if it's a death, but there's legal papers coming into play. And the legal system coming into play. And everything's on your side. And you're in charge. And the decision is in your hands. And you are right. And I see a lot of people behind you. I don't know whether they're your children. And I don't mean small children. I mean grown children. But they're older. They might be family members as well. And I'm seeing that this is not fully complete, but almost complete. So you're almost at the end of this. This will soon be over, but it's not completely over. Maybe by the end of this year, this will be over. And that this is coming from also a higher power. And this is coming from an ultimate truth. And that you've prayed for this for a long time. All right? And they keep saying, stand up for what you believe in. Stop being afraid. Does this make sense to you?
The legal papers? I don't know. I don't have any legal papers. Oh, I do have a legal paper with some kind of stuff. The house, the bill, the property that I own. I don't know. I'm making a lot of changes in my life because I want to move on, and I'm just giving away whatever is not being used. Giving away and putting in somewhere else, giving to people, whatever I don't use. Used to mention death or death.
I don't know what that has to do with, but they're showing me an hourglass. Not death as in you dying, but they're showing me the legal papers had something to do with death.
I got a legal issue with some person that made me sign a paper and did half of the job that I told him to do, and then he wants the whole payment. That I'm holding back, but then at the end I say I just gonna pay whenever I have a chance. It doesn't matter. It's my loss for trusting that person. That's the only thing that I feel I betray, but it's just money. And then I say when I have the chance, I'll pay him the money and get him out of my way.
Okay, well, you need to stand up for yourself. But the decision that you make is going to be fair, whatever decision that it is. You're going to do the right thing.
Okay. Yeah.
It's going to be from your heart. It's going to be from your heart. So it's going to be like, because this older woman that's standing here is saying, you know, cut to the bullshit. No more. Do you understand?
Yes.
Because she's talking with the knife, like if she's cooking dinner and she's cutting the vegetables. And you know how when you cut and you talk and you cut some more and then you talk some more? That's what she's showing me.
Okay. I know, maybe, because people just think that because I'm nice, they can step whatever they want to. Yeah, I noticed the advantage of the situations because I'm nice.
Okay, well, Lucy, we got to move on. But
thank you so much
for calling.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now.
Thank you. Blessings.
Okay, we've got Yvette here. Hi, Yvette. How are you doing tonight?
I'm great, Barbara. How are you?
Doing really, really well.
It's so good to hear your voice. Barbara, I just want to, there are a lot of things going on in my life, but rather than choose, I thought I would ask for a general reading.
Okay. I can do that.
Okay.
Wow. There does seem, this year seems to be a time in which you're tying up loose ends. You're letting go of things. You're letting go of a lot of garbage that you've been carrying, so that this is a time, this 2015 is a time in many ways of forgiving, and it's not so much forgiving other people as it's forgiving yourself for putting yourself through patterns that you've gone that you've repeated over and over and over again. You know, lots of times we repeat a pattern because we didn't get it all the first time, but you repeat patterns sometimes 3 and 4 times just to make sure you never have to experience stuff again, which is kind of cute. There's a sense here of getting compensation for a lot of the work that you've done on an internal level, and I have to say the last 5 years have been incredible for you. There's been a tremendous amount of opening up of interior channels within you that aren't necessarily apparent on the exterior, but internally you have cleared out channels. You have brought light into the darkness. You have certainly absolutely let go of a lot of you have put light into places that needed to have light put into. So it feels to me as though you are reworking your inner truths to a point where you are building a philosophy and a paradigm that is going to serve you well for the next couple of decades, you know, at least. There's a sense here of, I see the scales of justice here, so it does feel that you have brought yourself into a better balance, both with internal and external energetics. And I feel that you've built a new foundation that you're working from. There's a sense here of there's a sense here of puzzle pieces coming together as you get into the springtime. It feels as though there's a tremendous amount of new energy shifting around here. May is going to be a time frame where your energy really does move around to the point where you're going to want to watch how you eat, what you eat, and make sure that you take supplements of some sort. You may even think about going to the doctor for a checkup because you feel so different. And you know, if you have that kind of feeling, absolutely do go. But I don't feel that there is anything physically wrong with you. It's just the energy inside of you finding new patterns and new channels to move through so that you're going to be off balance and maybe even a little bit of vertigo in the month of May. But everything swoops into, you know, being perfectly aligned in everything by the time you hit June. Then the second half of the year, it feels to me as though you've got magic and miracles. The first half of the year is internal working, tying up loose ends, letting go, and sort of being a little easier on yourself than you have been, because you've been your own hardest judge for sure. And then as you get, you know, through the month of June, the whole rest of the year is celebration and healing energy that not only is for you but for other people as well. And it feels as though that energy is flowing through you and with you on a new level of intensity and a new level of insight is sort of opened up to here, which is really kind of cool. There's also a sense here of becoming more focused on what you feel your purpose is here and those things that you need to do to serve yourself and humanity and the evolution of your spirit. So I do feel that you've got a lot of work and then a lot of celebration here. And by the end of the year, you're attracting new energy to yourself so that new people are coming into your venue and you're beginning to understand a little bit more about the journey that you're on. Annie, what are you getting?
I kind of feel like you're really grounded, but almost too grounded in the earth plane. And what I mean by that is that you're very materialistic when it comes to the beginning of the year. Almost so that you're giving yourself a little bit more stress than you need to. Really worried about material things, work. You almost forget about your spiritual side and that you have to kind of learn how to get back to nature, get back to your spiritual side, you know, kind of learn how to relax a little bit, take a breather. say, okay, kind of step away from things and say, oh, yeah, that's right. I need some me time. I need to get back into nature. And maybe that's why you start to get a little bit more happier when it comes to May and stuff. But I do say that I do see that when springtime and maybe towards the latter part of the year, that it does become happier for you and things start to get a little bit more abundant and healthier for you because it's, naturally everybody gets happier during the springtime, or at least that's my take on it, because it's just more beautiful, warmer and stuff, and the snow is gone. But I think that you become more productive, and I don't know if that's your time of the year, but I think you have that elemental energy about you. And I see a lot of your stuff coming to fruition around that time. Things that you've been working really hard towards start to come to completion. And maybe your head starts to, and I hate to say it like this, but, you know, you start to get your head out your butt. And that's why everything starts to just look better for you. And you start to relax. And you start to take a breather. And you can actually sit down and have that glass of wine and just kind of chillax. And things just start looking better for you. And you start to kind of let go of that ego self. And just start to breathe. There you have it.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much, Barbara and Annie. I'm going to really hold on to that.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you.
Okay. And I have something that I thought would be fun to play with a little bit. I am doing a new page on my website, and it's going to be called 101 and then more of the questions that I've been asked over time that people have put to me, and I have hundreds and hundreds of them, and I thought it would be fun to hear your sort of take on some of the questions, because to be honest with you, some of them are really pretty cool. So you want to try? You want to field some of these for me and give me your impression on them?
Me? Sure.
Yeah, you.
You talking to me, Barbara?
I'm talking to you.
Sure.
I'm talking to you, yeah.
Sure.
You sound like a New Yorker.
I'm not. I'm
talking to you.
Hey, yeah. It slips out every now and then, just like, you know, Chris's phrase. Yeah. Oh God, yeah. So the first one that I found fascinating, because I've just put all of these questions in a great big long list, and I thought, okay, I'm going to put them up on my website, and I thought it would be lots of fun to sort of answer them because there are so many of them, and rather than type them back, well, and the reason I'm putting them up on the website is because some of them are repeated over and over and over again. And so the first one that I found fascinating is they asked me, what does our spirit look like? Not the body that we're riding around in, but what does our spirit, our individual spirit, that which goes lifetime to lifetime, what does it look like?
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. To me personally, it looks like a sunrise on the coldest day when the sun has just fallen. And the snow is just laying on the ground. And you wake up and you're looking out the window and you want to see how much snow is on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to go outside because it's so cold. And the sun is just coming up and it's just dawn. And you look outside and it's glistening out there. And it's just coming up and it's so bright. And you can't really see because it's like doubly bright because of the snow. And the glare is just blinding. And
uh-huh.
you know this, it's like out there, the sun and the snow, and you can't see either one, how deep it is, but you know it's there.
Uh-huh.
That's what my spirit looks like to me.
Okay. I think a long time ago I would have said it's just a transparent reflection of our physicality, but I've learned a lot and grown a lot and thought a lot since I started in this field so many years ago that to me it's etheric. So to me it's kind of like. Have you ever seen those representations of blobs, you know, that you could see through that look like jelly, or
mm-hmm.
yeah, and they're formless, they're faceless, and they just kind of float and kind of they don't have a form, but they can create a form around them. That's kind of like what I think our souls, you know, at the very core look like. Certainly what you explained does resonate to me as well, because I do feel that there's a sense of beauty and awesomeness within the soul itself, and that the vision that you gave me certainly is a reflection of what that spiritual energy does represent. It's the dawning of creation, and so I don't know that it has a form as much as it has a feeling. But that was good. Okay, wait. Let me grab some more here. I really some of these were questions that were put to me in an interview that I did for a magazine, and I thought they were so good that I hung on to them, and you know it's been half a gazillion years, so that maybe not that long, but it's been a long time. Let me see, where did they go? I think some of these are just how do you handle? Wait a minute, let me see if I can find that one again. How do you handle spiritual snobs? I don't have an explanation of what a spiritual snob is, but I have a feeling I know what a spiritual snob is. But how do
what a spiritual tissue. well, you know, it very carefully.
Yeah.
You know, only because, you know, they want to be just heard. And,
uh-huh.
you know, they don't want to listen to you. They want to just teach you. So if that's what they want to do, go ahead, you know, speak away.
Uh-huh.
I can be your sounding board. And feel free, have at it. They don't want to be corrected. They don't want to be represented. They want to be
mm-hmm.
heard. Like most people, I treat them like children. And,
okay.
you know, and so they just want to be heard. So that's what I do. I just listen to them.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, here's a good one. This is directed at you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You have been given an amazing gift. What has it brought into your life?
Oh, many blessings. I've met amazing people who have brought me a lot of knowledge, a lot of comfort, a lot of blessings, a lot of growth. Shown me a lot of things. Some things I didn't want to learn. you know, like so many of us, some reflections I kind of, you know, wanted to kind of throw the blanket over the mirror. But, you know, sometimes the teacher becomes a student and you have to own that. And move on from it. And
I would tend to agree with you. I feel strongly that the older I get, the more appreciative I get of the richness, not money, but the richness that
Absolutely.
That having this kind of gift has brought into my life. And I can't imagine my life without touching into other people's energy, without helping them, if I can, in some way to gain enlightenment into situations and circumstances. Saying it's a gift is diminishing it. It is, it's a blessing.
Right.
It's an awakening. It's magical. And I think something that's important for people to realize, you know, we go through the same struggles and the same burdens and the same challenges that everybody else does. It's not like just because you're psychic, you don't have all of those challenges. And I sometimes think that because we are in this field, our challenges are sometimes a little bit harder or more refined. Because of what we are how we're trying to use our talents and our skills. I think those that have the talents and skills and are using it just for financial gain do find that their struggles are sometimes more difficult because they don't understand that it's meant to be given away to a great extent. That doesn't mean that you can't charge for a reading. It, you know, because that's appropriate for an exchange to take place. It's just that sometimes I feel strongly that those that are charging $500 or $1,000 for a reading, I find that extreme. But, you know, there are those out there that feel that they have to pay that much. But the one thing I really think is important for people to realize is that the amount you pay for a reading in no way is an indication of the value you will get from the reading. So that you know, they are not commensurate. You know, I pay $1,000, I get better information than somebody who is, you know, just charging $50 or $25. Okay, here's another really, really good one. How can you tell if there's a deceased loved one around if you don't happen to be a functional medium or psychic? How do you know when there's a loved one around?
For me personally, or just
for you personally?
For me personally, I usually can. I get that. You know, my spidey senses. Start going off. I get that instant knowing. I mean, my first indication is I just instantly know that somebody's in the house.
Uh-huh.
I don't have to see them. I know before anything else, that I just sensed them being here. Like if it, you know, before anybody, before I hear, see, I know that there's a spirit in my house or wherever I am.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything else comes into play.
What if you were, what if somebody came to you who didn't have their light switch on, and they wanted, you know, every time they went to a reader, spirits came through and everything, and they never felt them. Are there ways that spirits can communicate with the uninitiative? That doesn't mean that you know there's anything wrong with the people. It just means they're not using their gifts. So for those that don't have or aren't using their gifts, how do they know when there is a spirit around them?
They'll usually make electrical things malfunction, knock things over. Make things fall onto the floor. If you have animals in the house, they'll usually set them off.
Yes, that's a good indication.
Yeah, set the animals off. Wake you up at certain times of the night, enter your dreams. That's a famous one, is entering your dreams and leaving messages during dream time. And one of the things you can communicate with them through your dreams. You don't have to be a medium or a psychic to communicate with them through your dreams. That's the easiest way to communicate with them because that's the entry through the different dimensions. Trying to think. Oh, automatic writing.
Another good way.
Yeah, and because that's one of the best ways because everybody, I call TV the idiot box, and no pun intended, and nothing against people who watch TV or are couch potatoes. But I know for some reason when I walk in front of the TV that it's an idiot box for me. I become an idiot when I'm in front of it. I don't care if you talk to me or whatever. As soon as I walk in front of it, I'm mesmerized by it. I'm just, everything else just falls away. I'm like, so... if I'm standing in front of it with a pen and paper, I could probably put out a book in front of it while I'm watching TV. So my suggestion to you is to sit in front of it with a pen and a paper while you're watching TV if you have a favorite program that you watch. And you could probably pump out whatever information you want to pump out.
It might be
a few words.
Well, that's true because your focus is on the television so that you're not really focused on what you're writing and stuff. That's true. That's a really good suggestion. Okay, here's one of my favorite ones. To you personally, as a medium, psychic, channeler, empath, intuitive, yada, yada, what is your strangest, most unusual experience in doing a reading?
Jesus, so many. okay. I'd have to say, I had, I think I was at Stan's. I'll say that one where I was at Stan's and I was in PA and I had this one lady who I swear she was definitely, she had to be possessed. And she really was. And she was saying that she she's calling Jesus the sweet one.
Okay.
And how he would come and bite her lip every night. And, like, I really couldn't remember, you know, I still can't remember all the, but what I do remember of the reading and stuff, it was really off the wall. And this woman was really off the wall. And
wow.
Basically, yeah, it was just really off the wall. And it was so off the wall that when I got done with it, she was like one of the last readings of the night. And you know how you are after like a ton of readings.
Oh, yeah.
Back. You're like spent, where you're like almost off the wall yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to drive like really far away. That
uh-huh.
when I had called Linda up and I was explaining it to her, I was like, I really think that this woman is like really possessed. And I mean, she was just totally out there. It was really, really creepy. Just very, very pale. And it, her energy was just, like, I almost felt like she was being visited by like a succubus almost.
Oh wow.
It was just really freaky.
Well,
and it was just creepy.
Well,
just very creepy.
Well, my strangest, most unusual. I was like you, I was working in a bookstore down in Newport News, Virginia. And I had gone down there, God, so many times it was unbelievable. And they would book me for 12 hours, 11 to 11, 7 days a week. And I would stay there. I think I started with, you know, a long weekend, and it got to be 3 weeks that they would book me up for. And I was cranking. I was having a lovely time, and this little old lady came in. She wasn't old. She was probably in her 40s,
mm-hmm.
50s. And she sat down, and I spread the cards out, and I started reading her. And I suddenly, it was almost like, you know, a cool wind went over the back of my neck, and I looked up at her, and I said, can you relate to this? And I let's say her name was Nancy. And I said, Nancy, can you relate to this? And she looked at me, she said, I'm not Nancy. I'm Sarah. And I said, well, these cards don't seem to apply to you, Sarah. And because I thought I had gotten her name wrong. So I pulled the cards up, I shuffled them, I went through putting them out again, and I said, okay, Sarah, here we go. And within 10 minutes, I felt that same shiver, and I looked up and I said, Sarah? And she looked back at me, and her face changed each time. And she said, I'm not Sarah. I said, okay, Nancy. No, I'm Elizabeth. And I said, okay, Elizabeth. I shuffled the cards again. I put them out, and I said, okay, Elizabeth, stick with me, okay? And she said, just fine. And so I got maybe 15 minutes in now, and then I thought, all right, I'm on a roll. Elizabeth's going to stay. And I felt that cold air across the back of my neck, and I heard her giggling. And I looked at her, and I said, all right, who? And she said, I'm Emily. And this went on. I think I got maybe 7 different people. And I finally, towards the end of it, I said, all right, is Nancy still there? And then I'm looking at the cards, and I said, I want Nancy back here, please. And so she giggled. And I said, Nancy? And she said, uh-huh. I said, the next time each of you has to book a reading for yourself, because this is not fair. I had to read 7 of you. How many are there in you? And she said, oh, last count it was 12, but one went on vacation and she hasn't come back yet. And I said, okay. And you know, as she left, I looked at the store owner and I said, are you aware she has multiple personalities? And she said, I've only seen two. How many did you see? And I said, seven. And she says, there are 12. And I said, they all have to book their own appointment next time. There's no way we're going to do this again. But it was
like,
so...
did all of them pay?
No, well, no, they booked an hour for a group reading. I just didn't know it was a group reading. I think I would have been okay because they were different. I don't actually believe they were different people. I think they were just aspects of the same spirit. And what's funny is some of them, when I looked at her, sometimes she looked almost in period dress to me. Her stature changed, and there was a subtlety about her expression that changed. And you know, nobody was mean or nasty. They all thought it was a big joke. And, you know, I just, you know, it did dawn on me at the third one that either, I couldn't believe somebody would just do that for the fun of it. And the store owner did say she has been diagnosed with multiple personalities and she's not a threat to anyone. The only trouble is they're all different ages and some of them don't have a driver's license. And you always have to be careful who's driving the car because there were a number of them in there that were like 10 and 12 years old.
Oh.
So, you know, it was like, and they let her on the road and she said, yeah, the adults take the driver's tests and she gets the driver's, you know, and it was hysterical. It was, you know, charming lady. You just never, and what was fascinating was that each of them had a different period of time or history that they knew everything about, so that one of them had lived during the Civil War or that aspect of her character, personality, whatever, and she could tell you about the different battles and the different. I mean, she knew them. She spoke with a Southern accent, and then there were others that their personality went back even further in time, so that every now and then. You know, there was one that you know didn't know what electricity was and got freaked out by the lights when they went on and off. You know, but it was fascinating. She was a hoot. She was a hoot and a half. She was fun. She was fun. I would have happily spent the whole day with her, just discovering what everybody knew. All women though, no men. All women. Okay, so here's the last question, and then we're going to close out the show because I don't think my stomach is not going to last forever here. when do you think Atlantis will surface, and where? And do you believe it's an island, or as I do, I think it was a mothership?
I do too, and I think that. That's an interesting question. Whether it has, you know, I definitely believe that it was a ship. I think that maybe Stargate, Atlantis, that show really kind of hit it on the head the way they kind of put it together.
Mm-hmm,
remember
mm-hmm.
that show, the way they built it and how they drew it up?
And oh, yeah.
Made it. I thought that was, like, perfect. But I want to say that it might have already come up and it might return as such, you know, go out and then return as an asteroid. And that's how we don't detect it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. I believe that it's an interdimensional thing. And I really do believe that it was here for a while. It terraformed around itself, and when they got ready to leave, they left, and they left people behind to basically help to teach in mathematics and language and numbers and astronomy and stuff like that. But I don't see it coming back. I'm going through a sort of, I guess, an epiphany of just the philosophical stuff behind the human species, and I'm coming to the, you know, and my philosophies, by the way, I have to sort of say, change and evolve with the tides. I mean, you know, I'm working more or less on the fact that I think we have to really throw away the Bible and the history books and all of that, and understand that all of them were written to create a fabric and a philosophy for us to hold on to, because we weren't secure enough within ourselves to understand the majesty and the divinity that we hold within ourselves. And so we've created religions and gods and all sorts of things to sort of make us more comfortable with our place in time, and that as we evolve more and more, we will not need those security blankets anymore, and we will trust more to that which is inside of us, rather than you know, praying to guardian angels and you know, guides and stuff like that. That we've made up those things, those personalities, those characters, and they basically represent levels of consciousness, but we perceive them as people so that we don't have to take responsibility for the wisdom that we already carry within. Does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense. I mean, you know, we've kind of talked about this before, but I think that, you know, these books and these belief systems that we've created, like children,
uh-huh,
you know, with their pacifiers and their security blankets and their bottles, we've needed these things to evolve.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's who we are. Because in order for us to be comfortable and reach each level of development, we need these things. And until we're able to move to that next level of development, just like with, you know, the pacifier was created for us because we're teething. And unless we have that pacifier, we can't teeth properly, so to speak. You know, some kids have that oral fixation and blah, 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 blah. And some people, if they don't have something in place for that belief system, you know what I'm saying? Some people take it to the extreme, just like children with a pacifier. So these things were put into place for a reason. Now, some people, of course, don't let it go, but everything was put into place for a reason. Now, whether it is our own divine development to weed out these so-called beings of consciousness in our own divine wisdom for a higher purpose, who knows? You know what I'm saying? It remains to be seen.
Somebody brought up to me that there's this lady that says she channels God and she channels Jesus, and she's actually forming a group and has followers. She's created another religion instead of supporting people finding their own inner divinity, and it's just another. I mean, let's face it. Jesus had no intention, nor did he want to be the foundation of a religion. he was preaching a way of life. He was an Orthodox Jew, and he had no intention of creating a religion. Paul did. Paul created. It should be called Paulism, but I guess Christianity
Paulism.
Sounds better. Paulism, yeah.
Paulism.
Can
you
imagine? I mean, stop and think of it.
What if it had been
formed around Enoch, Enochism? I mean, or Ezekiel, Ezekielism. Now that isn't bad.
Yeah,
but
I
you
like
know,
that.
That's not bad. Oh, how about Melchizedekism?
I'd fall over that.
my tongue couldn't say it. But yeah, I think that we've just kind of some people are revving up things to worship instead of understanding that you don't need to worship something. You need to embrace something. You need to become a part of it, and you need to evolve into it. But not worship, not put on a pedestal and bow down to, because I don't believe that's what we're supposed to do. And it's just me. It's my opinion. But I'm finding that a lot of people are constantly looking for something outside of themselves because they don't have faith and trust within, you know, with the spirit that they carry within themselves. So I think we're coming to a time where
Do you think it's that, or do you think it's that people just don't want to take responsibility? I think it's that.
Well, no, yeah, I think it's that too. Absolutely. And it's like they don't want to be wrong. And the reality is if you're being true to yourself and living your own inner truth, you can't be wrong. You know, you may conflict
with
somebody.
Are. You're wrong. But if you're wrong for you, that's fine. I mean,
yeah,
if it's your truth, who cares?
Yeah, but a lot
it
of
might
people
be wrong
really.
For everybody else, but you're right for you.
But a lot of people want to fit into a clique. They don't want to be unique and individual. They want to be with everybody else, like everybody else, and have the same whatever, so that they don't have to stand out. They don't have to stand out and stand up for their belief. You know, it's much easier if they're following someone else. It's much easier to do that. But that said, I'm gonna call it a night. And thank you so much for coming and answering questions with me. I think they're great questions people have submitted. I think
they
are
very good. Cool.
And they're like 140 of them. So I'm gonna plow through them and get them up on the website. But I think maybe we will do a Q&A every now and then on one of the shows because they're fascinating. And
they are
thought provoking. So thank you for being here and sharing with me. And I know you come back again sometime. I'm not sure when, but I look forward to playing with you again.
Well, I hope you feel better. I'm so sorry that you were sick.
And I did it to myself, too. That's what kills me. I never order fish. I just don't. And out of season. How stupid of me. I've lived by the water all my life. I should have known better. Apparently I didn't. But I'll be here tomorrow night with James Luce and then Wednesday night with Jen Young. So catch up with us then. And Anne will be back yet again. Check my website for the calendar and you can see, you know, and note when she will be back. And Annie, thank you so much. And it's been, as always, fun. And I'm looking forward to the 26th.
All right, hon. I'll see you soon. You take care.
Thank you. You too. Good night now. Okay, everybody, thank you for being here. Tomorrow night, 8 to 10, Wednesday night, 8 to 10. Looking forward to seeing and chatting and reading, everybody. Good night now.